Friends, I'd like to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 7, and I begin with verse 37. So, John's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse 37. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, follows shortly. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And we are thinking this morning about total satisfaction. Total satisfaction. It is one of the things that people think that is a strange thing. Who can be totally satisfied in this world? Who can have so much contentment so that though life may turn out to be good or ill, and yet you'll be able to cope with such strength and such sense of rest in the midst of whatever happens? How can that be? Is that possible? In a world of struggles, in a world of all kinds of uncertainties, is this possible? Well, this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about in the language of thirst and quenching that thirst. And I'll be speaking about that this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ at this time was speaking at the Feast of the Tabernacles, we are told in verse 2. Since the Feast of the Tabernacles, a special feast that were celebrated by the Jews to remember when they were traveling from Egypt to the Promised Land, and they had to stay in tabernacles or tents in the wilderness for about 40 years. And so it was supposed to remind them that they were only temporary dwellers, and that as long as they were in the journey, they were in a temporary abode. And a resting place was the Promised Land where the Lord gave them, the land of Canaan. It tells us today that life is viewed, the Feast of Tabernacle teaches us that life is viewed as a journey. And everything is temporary. Everything will pass. Everything will be finished one day. We look forward to a more settled place, a permanent place. And that's the only meaningful life to live, my dear friends. Yesterday, you come up fasted, dear Emma, and I said, satisfaction. Wakuma to yam kra. Na ibisase na ebere de na esisa sense bi ase ha de ya wanyoma bebre ya twetwe mu ehia nyoma esisi ni de ya esose besisi ni akeka hu nyina e generally Jesus Christ ka fa efa said ya kuma me beta ya cry me kira se de aka hu Jesus Christ ka sa ye ewo afibia na Israel funo mudie ya funo Feast of Tabernacles. A yafia yedikai bra Israel no mu e to kwan if Egypt echo sabosha sasenusno. Unse bra mu to kwanin yina mutna tent mu mutna fantiafana sisi a mutna tent and ketwanki tim ebisafuno etent namusa. Iradi de chawon se bra mu to kwanin yina when you dance for a wukwani bromo besettle, Mobuka, Mobu, Promised Land, and also no more quatinase. But more mutuquan, bromutuquani dear, who said, be a bit me atrium, a temporary, and you hoda. And San Ekasa train, and then so friends. Ekasa train say, young cause say, we any day, at the say to quine. Be a any horse say, a hot break a crack. Ebe fi hose seya, enti, yinyi da sene bra, yebe ti me afe, yakotina eradin chen kra. Enti, yon eradi Yesu Christo kongas. Now, there's something about this feast that made the Lord Jesus Christ particularly draw on this. It is often said that if you haven't seen the Jews celebrating this tabernacle, you have never seen joy. Because there was so much excitement. Others, and then they will go and fetch water from the pool of Siloam with water in containers. They will come and pour it on the altar, and then with rejoicing heart, because the priest will be doing this, and then they will be quoting Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3, "Rejoice, do I draw water from the wells of salvation," and the whole place will be full of trumpeting and shouts of joy, and everybody would be so happy. The striking thing was, in the midst of such excitement and ecstasy, the Lord Jesus Christ tells them in our verse, in the midst of it, in fact, at the last day, which is the would have been the eighth day, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. If any man thirst, of course, he's drawing from the picture of the water being poured on the altar. But at the same time, he's drawing attention to something that many people may not see, that in spite of the excitement, people were inwardly struggling, inwardly troubled, inwardly afraid, and things like this. Some di sa fishe afinwa. Ye si se wunhunu, ye jufu somu di sa fini dia, eni wunhunu, eni di anka sape. Because some di anho di ni na shemu se, na mwako sa ensu ewa wong, pus nu ba kumo, salu amdiano, no mebe shie ewu, orta no so, na ya botu truben to trumpet na ubia eke kem ewo eni jemu ini eke keka hono enu mwane radia su kristo soro kase edene ichatu trono radia su kristo kase ubia ensu komdini nuno umbraning chain. And this is what I want us to consider. What is the Lord speaking about? If any man thirst, of course he's not talking about physical thirst, that's obvious, isn't it? He isn't talking about thirst that could be quenched by a cup or two of water. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about a thirst in the soul. The soul can be thirsty. And if anyone thirsts, says the Lord, the soul can be thirsty. What does that mean? It is that sense of something to make me feel that my life is not meaningful. I am living a meaningful life. It is that sense that I'm not afraid of the future. What would happen? It is a sense that I don't think I need something else before I can be happy. It is that sense that when I think of God, I'm not alarmed. When I think of my life, I'm not afraid. When I think of how I die one day, I'm not afraid either. But this test is there because we don't have that. Everybody has some fear. Everybody has some kind of anxiety. Everybody is always looking up to something to make him more settled and happy. This is it's a universal thing. The Lord Jesus Christ used the picture of water because thirst is a universal thing. Except those suffering from some extreme illnesses where the very desire to drink water is itself gone. Otherwise, it's a universal thing, isn't it? Everybody feels thirst. And so, it's a universal problem. Universally, everybody is seeking for something else. Obia na brevo mono oshushe bibi a kaho. Eni se minye bibi kahwansa mihwato mi. Enti eni sain sukomna e kosono. Nyamadi se kristo so obia sukomde nuno umbra minche. And yesi sain sukomno eni man krofo every time oshushe bibi a sana. Obiana genius, so ye be the Akaho, and son and Huatono, and I say, so be any the answer, and son and Huatono. Now, this wonderful mystery, when we say mystery, we don't mean that it cannot be known, because mystery in the Bible means something that is hidden from us unless God tells us and God has told us. There's something mysterious about Christianity, and people don't know. And it is part of the reason why the charismatic churches are really hurting many people. They don't know that the Lord Jesus Christ and the promises he gave meant that you can have a perfectly contented person, never ambitious, never chafing for all kinds of things, and yet will not be a lazy person. And so they think that to say that somebody is a contented person means he will simply relax in life and not go to work and never lift a finger or anything like that. No, it doesn't. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about this contentment, this rest, this dealing with thirst that I will touch on very soon. And so, my dear friends, This is the kind of thing that is going on in every heart. Every one of us here. Unless I am a Christian, your deepest desire is something else. Something else to say, if only I can get that. If only I can secure that. If only I can possess that. If only I can own that too, then I will be happy. Then I will be happy. That's the thirst. You are thirsty. And it will continue to be there. It will change. If you could satisfy that this one now, another will come. Satisfy that one, another will come. You know why? Because God has left this present life to vanity. That is, even when we've gotten what we think we want, so we say, oh, so this is vain. Then you go for another one, you get this, oh, so this is vain. God has stamped vanity on everything we can get. You see. And so we'll always be thirsty. In circumbedience, every time, there should be fufro. That's the one second we are. Now, because I didn't crown me. Some of the childish illustration we give is sometimes you can think of perhaps the older ones. Maybe your wedding dress. If the older sisters are here, or the gentlemen, do you remember your wedding suit? The day you got that wedding suit, I mean, you kept it so special. It was a special clothes for that day. And you made sure it was. We have been told that you don't let the other person see. Is that a rule or something? So when the man gets a suit, he doesn't make sure the lady sees it, because everybody wants to surprise the other. So everybody sees it. Anyway, so these nice clothes that are here. Now I ask you now, where are they? Probably they are rats now. Or something worse. And yet there was a time it seemed so precious, and yet now it's gone. If you are old enough and you've been buying cars, I mean, as part of your daily work, you remember the first car you bought, and it was excellent. This is very attractive one. Now where is it now? Well, I'm sure if they brought it back to you and parked it in front of your house, you beg them to take it away. Because you don't like that anymore. There's something, you know, my dear, we don't want to observe this. There's something that tells us that things we are so anxious about now. I heard a woman who was saying that, I don't even know whether to give birth to children or not to give birth. Because when you don't, because her children were giving him troubles, her troubles, and she was saying, when I didn't have children, I think it was okay. Well, I thought when I got children, they'd be fine. I got them, and I think they are a burden to me now. And I knew a woman who had problem with childbirth, and she eventually had to go and adopt a son. And after she'd raised up. I think it was a lady first. After she raised that lady, I asked her, would you want a second? She said, no. No. So once it was your strongest desire, the next time, it's something you wouldn't want that much. You know, friends, this goes on in our heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that we are thirsty people. We are always thinking we need something to make me happy, something to make me feel that my life is more useful, and things like that. The Lord Jesus Christ says, well, if you are thirsty, it should be directed to me. So look at the text. Midway verse 37, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come to me. And drink. Right here, the Christo say, since the comedy beer, woman no embraming chain na umbenum. Now don't go seeking for something else to drink to satisfy that. That sense, that desire for true settled happiness, that desire for contentment, that desire where you would no longer be overwhelmed by fear,
where you will no longer be carried away by anxiety. They will come and challenge you, but they won't overwhelm you. Don't think they are in possessing something, in getting something. Some young people think that if only they can be at the topmost of their job and have all the influence in Ghana so that wherever they go, no policeman can stop them, then they can be happy. Okay, the policeman may not stop you, but you can have an accident. So where do you go? In Kerala, Jesus Christ said, Sir, again he said, Now, if this test is universal, why did the Lord Jesus Christ say, if anyone tests? If anyone tests, as if some people don't test, isn't it? If anyone tests, the reason is that you can suppress that test. People do that. Even natural tests. When we're children, you could suppress that. You are with your friends playing some nice football, and you are winning. But when you are losing, you feel thirsty quickly. When you are winning, and so the game is all happy, happy, happy. Then the boy is thirsty, he can forget about the thirst and keep playing. And so he can suppress the thirst. Spiritual thirst too, some people can suppress that, pretend it's not there. This is what these celebrities do. You see, they give us all the nice facade. As if he's such a nice person when he's really in his very expensive vehicle going and he's all smile here for the camera, remember? For the camera, so that he gives you the picture that, hey, everything is okay. Everything is okay with me. And yet, underneath will be the thirst. If you suppress it, it will get out of hand. This is why people have outbursts of anger. Before, rather, they simply burst out in anger and hateful words and bitter reaction. Because it's a harboring. He's distressed. He's anxious. He's unhappy. And he's trying to contain himself. And you come to really poke at him or her. Then he bursts over your face. Because he is not at rest within. Now, come on, man, turn up. In the near years, when the social ship be do as we are in some kind, on one in the room, so I shudder. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, baby, are you all right, man? No. You see, obedience some dacro. I said, yeah, it was Obeuna there. What do you say? You need your crown, a brave woman. I feel you obey a crowd best saying, you know. Dacro crown, it before the agent, some Kasa basaba sebiya jinsen because onu anu tete no ewo na kuma mu na jinye ne so benyo bi before from us we ambassador. And so my dear, you can't suppress that. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if you are thirsty, come to me. Don't suppress that, because that would be foolish, because that would be hurtful. So we want to really come to the Lord and look at how the Lord puts it. How he put it is helpful for us and encouraging. And I will explain that. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, the next line of the verse is helpful. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So you see that the expression, come to me and drink, is the same that the Savior is calling, believe on me. You see? Because when he has said, come to me and drink in verse 37, he connects that believing on me to the water, again in verse 38. So he's talking about the same coming to receive that drink and water and drink, you see. So believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured as coming to take the water and drink.
So the illustration is helpful. This is what I'm trying to emphasize. That the Lord Jesus Christ says similar thing in John chapter 4 to the woman of Samaria. Coming to the Lord is like coming to take that water to drink. And that passage in Isaiah 12:3 also there. So it's coming to take that water and drink. That's what it means. So what does it mean to come to take this water and drink? And it gives you a picture of what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is for those who acknowledge their thirst. If anyone thirsts, if you want to suppress that, you won't come. If you want to suppress that, you wouldn't get the water. If something else has so distracted you, so you don't feel the thirst, you wouldn't come. Friends, so you see, if you want to become a Christian, the very first important thing is to be sincere with yourself. Oh, friends, you cannot ignore this. To be so sincere with your state. Lord, this is who I am. Lord, here am I. A miserable wretch. People admire me on the outside, but only thou knowest me who I really am. You know how I'm inwardly, I'm a bitter soul. How in my mind I'm such an unclean person. Delighting in all kinds of filthy things. I'm such a gentleman on the outside. I'm such a lady on the outside. But you know how much anxious I am and restless I am for that and for that and for that. I am a restless soul. I am a restless soul. It's to own up your case before the Lord. Friends, if you cannot open your heart sincerely to the Lord, how can you expect Him to save you? So when to me mye wa kuma mwanka sen chen yang kopan, obe jen wani ada kwan yisu bi timi aje. Inti se me pe se me be radi yisu kwi soma me akuma otonwa. Me pinise de me tibi atye, ne me kachen. And you would see that that thirst would have driven me to all kinds of sins. I want that by all means, so I sometimes tell a lie. I really just like that. I am so anxious over that, and so sometimes I get angry. It has led me to all kinds of sins also. And you can think of the many things that people do because they want to get all kinds of things, thinking it will satisfy them. And you may be holding na kasoma dream was said, Obama Kwama atu on yim, but in Uhasar. So acknowledge your thirst. As the Lord Jesus Christ says, so if you want to come to me and drink. Now, another thing, if somebody is really thirsty, you give him a cup of water. You think he will look at the cup and admire the content in it, and begin to have a discussion with people around. Well, that's not how a thirsty person behaves, is it? C.S. Pagan tells an illustration of two groups of persons who had gone to a restaurant, and two of them were professors. One group is a professor and his friend, and they had come to the restaurant. They are professors in food. And so when they were served the food on their table, they were there debating over the food, the content, and all the ingredients. They were having, there's a heated discussion. And this is a poor man who's really very hungry from his labors. And so the food that they are debating, when he got his, he had finished it in no time. Because he doesn't have any debates about that. You go straight for that. What does that mean? If I'm a thirsty person, when I'm offered the water, I take it at once. Why do you delay in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Because either you don't know you are thirsty, or you are suppressing that, or you don't believe the Lord's invitation. You still believe that things that I really am anxious about, that's what I need for life to be meaningful. I really have to get that thing before life will be meaningful. And so I can ignore what the Lord is saying. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of glory, says, you are a thirsty soul, I'm a thirsty soul. And the only person I can go to satisfy is Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't want to believe Him. You want to say, well, it's something else. I would go to church, yes, I would do a few good things around, but I will still be setting my heart upon nothing to get it to make me happy. The Lord Jesus Christ is not there. It's in me. Do you believe Him? Would you believe Him? If you will, the very moment you grasp that this is the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, offering Himself to me and saying, I am the one who will satisfy that longing heart. You say, Lord, I come. Lord, I come. I yield my heart to You. Have mercy upon me and cleanse me. The trouble is, you don't. You don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will satisfy that heart. And I'm so wondering, you say, Radio Jesus Christ, Mabama, Wakumana, Toye, Mwanka, Senti. San Sato said, Brandon Chen, Obama, Wanumno, one person with you. He says, Wunyin, they say, but my dear friends, I don't want to say this, but sometimes you have to tell people, do you want to ignore the Lord's invitation and taste for yourself the misery of emptiness of life? So that you go round and round and round, and then you come to say, oh, what have I done with my life? What have I done with my years? Oh, my dear friends, would you believe the Lord? If you believe Him, well, the Lord says that this is what will help you. Acknowledge your problem now. See your case. See your trouble. See your sad condition. And cry to the Lord. Go to Him. And then He offers living water. He says He offers that freely. He offers that freely to needy sinners. Now, it is that living water, the Lord Jesus Christ is that it is from Himself. Because He died on the cross of Calvary. Because He bore the punishment that should have fallen upon needy sinners. Because He became a representative. Because He dealt with the root cause of that dissatisfaction and anxiety and fear and restlessness. The root cause, do you know that? The root cause is sin. The root cause is the fact that we are not right with God. The root cause is the fact we do not know God. The root cause is because we can't live a life of faith. Because we don't know God. If I don't know God, how do I live a life of faith? Is difficult. My dear friends, without a life of faith, you would always be anxious, because in this world there are things beyond our powers, whether we like it or not. There will always be things beyond our powers, things we would know it, we cannot do anything about. It will always be there. The only way to survive is to have faith that can say, but God has power over that, but God rules over that. But you don't know Him, so you can't trust Him. You may talk about it, but you can't really trust Him. When you are cornered, you wouldn't believe Him because you don't know Him. So that's the root cause, you see. And so God has dealt with that. God has dealt with that. But the Lord Jesus Christ coming to save us, to bear the penalty for sin on the cross of Calvary, so that He would bring us to God and reconcile us together, bring us to know God. I wish you know that great difference it makes. You know, let me illustrate this with us. Everybody is familiar with this popular preaching around where even in churches, we are talking about how people can earn a lot of money. Everybody's aware of this, isn't it? It's all over the place. Now, anybody who has been a Christian for 20 years, or plus, knows that that wasn't the emphasis until very recently. That was not the emphasis at all. You know what went wrong?
these preachers misunderstood the role of Christianity in society. They misunderstood it entirely, as they got it all wrong. They thought the only way you can let young persons do their best in society is to set material objectives before them and let them run for it. Christians who knew their Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ turned it the other way around. He says, set godliness before the young person's eye, not material things. You know why? Let me give you only one thing you can get with the kind of promotion we are doing now, where we are only setting material, status, things before young people's eye. What we will have, in fact, we should be afraid unless the Lord intervenes. What you would have is you can have that young person, he's become, yes, the biggest doctor, whatever, but he has no heart. See, doctors without heart, nurses who can insult a patient, things like this. Because Christianity said, if God changes the heart, then that person can be useful everywhere. If the heart is not right, give you any position, you'll be the most terrible person. They didn't understand it. And so now, the church, Christian, who should tell people, your heart, we have stopped that and telling people, oh, status, money, woe unto us. Why am I telling you this? Because you would have believed the same lie, dear friends. So this is why, if you do not respond to the Savior's invitation, you are believing the same lie. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, let me tell you, you are thirsty. You are looking for something that will let you feel well, that you are, your life is being used for. And you are thinking it is in getting that position, getting that advantage, earning that much. The Lord says, you're wrong. The trouble is, you do not know God. The trouble is, your heart is not right. And so, if the solution is something out there, then you can go and get it. Solution is with the heart. And so you come to me, and I cure the heart. You see the point? If you don't grasp that, you wouldn't come. The young person will still think, oh, but I want that. The Lord Jesus Christ said, well, you may have that, but remember the real problem is your heart. You are not right with God. My dear friends, and this is a challenge to every one of us, bear this in mind, without faith in God, your character will never be better. The best you can have is only a superficial thing. Something on the surface to impress people. To have deep character, deep fear, deep respect for valuable things requires faith in God. It requires an awareness that there's a God that I am answerable to. There's a God I must give an account to. And there's a God that watches over my life. Then there can be that deep fear and deep concern. Oh, friends, I hope you understand these things. Why would you not come? I didn't intend to come to him in Pesemeba. He says, Wunjindi, why didn't you say? And Pamijitima Pa said, I am a semi pebby, I am a man. But me, Jinundi, and I'm saying, Jinundi, Come to me and drink. Come. Rest your life in me. Just as somebody drinks that water and looks onto the water to satisfy their thirst. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him alone. My dear friend, the word is alone. A thirsty person takes that water and all he has is this water. And all he thinks he needs this moment is this water. And once he drinks that, he expects his heart to be satisfied and to breathe a sigh of relief. Now, I'm okay. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised exactly those. Come. Rest your life upon me. Come sincerely. Acknowledge the fact that I am a restless soul within. And call upon Him. And cast all your hopes upon Him. Let me explain some words. What does it mean to cast all your hopes upon Him? It means that abandon all other confidence. Don't let any other trust come in. Don't trust the good things you can do. Don't trust what a wonderful person you've been in the past, because it will destroy the hope. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your hopes must rest upon Him alone. And what He did for needy sinners. And call upon Him. Ask Him to have mercy upon you. Ask Him to receive you. Ask Him as a thirsty person who only want water. Who want only that. If you are thirsty, all you want is water. Come to the Lord. All I want, Lord, is that You will forgive my sins and change me and make me right with God. This is all I want. I do not desire anything else. In fact, you can say in your heart, Lord, bring me to Yourself. Let me know You. Even if You should give me nothing else, I'm okay. It's all right for me to be right with God. Can you say that in your heart? Then you are truly thirsty. And you are coming to the Lord right away. Oh, my dear friends. Look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And I'll begin to close on that because of time. It's really rational. Look at verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, if I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust Him, I put my confidence and hopes on what He did on Calvary. He alone bore the penalty for sin. He bore the curse that should have fallen upon me. He is the one who gave His life to purchase life for me and suffer the misery of sin's shame in my behalf. And I rest my hopes upon Him alone. If I am sincere, the Lord will hear me. He will wash away my sins, change me. And He will give me His Holy Spirit to dwell in my heart. And this is the beautiful picture He gives there. Remember that verse 38 is explained in that, the one in the bracket in verse 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And it explains in verse 39. But this speaking of the Spirit which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So He's talking about the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do when I've come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because by Him, I'm given a sense that God is my Father. As I can truly trust Him. You can trust your Father. You are given a sense that the language of prayer. You can open your heart to God in genuine prayer. And so, when life's pressures come, instead of making you anxious and fearful, they will drive you to prayer. And then you would see answers to prayer by the mercy of God. And these answers to prayer will strengthen you to know all the more that God is there and that this God is real. Oh, my dear friends, this is a counsel we must listen. You are thirsty. Don't suppress that. Don't think something else can satisfy that thirst. Otherwise, gradually, they will get out of hand. The frustration, the dissatisfaction will still burn within your heart and it will keep going. My dear friends, nothing can remove that. Nothing will remove that. It will go on and on and on. And then, eventually, will make us worse and worse. Oh, don't do that, my dear friend. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come. I can satisfy that. I can let you have a restful heart. A heart that says, I am the Lord and He is mine. You can even look into the future and even think about the day of death and thereafter without fear. Not in any confidence in self, but in that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can think of the challenges of life and whatever may come in the days to come and still say, but there's a Father who answers prayer, and so He will help me and answer my prayer when things are difficult. My dear friends, that faith in God only makes the heart rest. If you don't have that, you have nothing. Come to Him, my dear friend. Come to the Savior. Ask Him to have mercy upon you. Come sincerely. Rest your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ only. She said, when you do that same now, you're already sick of the Ukwasa. She said, and yes, sir, we are there. Sabrobe, Bemobidio, be Suda. This is Sajid, and Castle, you're already sick of the Ukwasa. And then Emma. Radius Christ says, I will be with Jimmy Dino. May the moon of Crown come back now. When the Crown come, yeah, one more, may you tell me bomb pie. A train and coupon say, or Piazzi, lawyer major. In the Mitnis, Mitminia Sam, a Kudrun, said, meet me out, Cossay and coupon in him. I do know a young man, a boss, a young woman. Aya won't mean so mean for a dream. Say, me be do so, I mean him. His son said, my dear, Mr. Christie, I call me. Now, one of my being uncle Pombanti. And, sir, I could run up. And then, a man, I say, Nyoma, a brother, per se, or the banana, no tea, man, me chimish, shimmy, me strewn. Meaning, I'm so tuning in a shattered air brassy. Radius Christ said, who be a succumbi? But I'm sure what Shedda said, who pia pinching after the chair, and say, hey, yay, as a Brahmin chair. Memoan, no, monsieur, no one. The one king in a Baba Shetta Waba. If you've not acknowledged your thirst, you wouldn't come. Have you acknowledged your thirst? Lord, I am distressed. Lord, I'm anxious. Lord, I'm fearful. Lord, I look into life with alarm. Why? Because you've not come and rest your hopes upon Him. Do so now. Let